Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, November 19th, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I know I've said in the past that, you know, I've done this probably 300 times now. Definitely more than 300 times. And man, am I lucky to do it. I love doing this with you guys. But I've said before that the daily pod, I started the same way every day, though. What's going on, and good morning, everybody. And you would think by now I have it memorized. And I have said in the past that I don't. Like, I will try to do it without it. And then if I go back to it and I haven't updated the day and the date, I have to start all over. And it does make me think that, you know, the Ron Burgundy, and I know it's a movie, but the Ron Burgundy thing where he just reads what's on the screen, I kind of think that would be me if I was a news anchor. If I was a news anchor and you just put something in front of me, I like to think I would catch if there was like a curse word or whatever. But based off the fact that I have to read this, even though I should have it memorized and I should just know it, and the littlest thing still throws me off, I think I would be like Ron Burgundy at the teleprompter. Maybe we'll find out. I don't think I'll ever host a news show in terms of like being on, you know, like hosting on ABC or CBS. I like being on CBS. I don't think I'll ever host a show, but you never know. Who knows what will happen? Just like who knows what will happen with the Eagles next, who certainly are dealing with a lot of drama. But we're not actually going to talk about the Jalen stuff today. We're going to talk about what the coordinators had to say. If you do want to hear my opinions on the Jalen Hurts report and all that, me and James recorded a podcast about it yesterday. You should go check that out. It's the one that's titled Anyway They're Going to the Super Bowl. Because anyway, they are probably going to the Super Bowl. I have really not met many people, even the people that are so concerned about this, that actually thinks it will derail them from the Super Bowl. So we'll find out. I imagine this was probably what it was like to cover the Patriots. I had a friend named Jeff Howe that worked for, I believe, a Boston newspaper and now The Athletic. Great guy, does an amazing job. And he covered the Patriots throughout this whole thing. And it had to be weird for him to know every single year, just like clockwork, he would be covering the championship game and likely the Super Bowl. But that's kind of where we're at with the Eagles. When I look out to even scheduling things with my family or my wife, you go out to February and it's like, I can't because I'm probably going to be covering the Super Bowl. And I do think we will all be talking about the Super Bowl, the Daily Pods with James and the Daily Pods. That's going to be a fun month once it starts up. We're not that far away. I can't believe it's already November 19th. So I probably bantered too much, but let's get into it because I want to talk to you about what Vic Fangio had to say on the positive stuff and then what Kevin Petullo had to say about the not so positive stuff. So on the schedule for today, the Eagles start back up their preparation or start up their work week as they get ready to play the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. Tough game. I think it's always tough to go there. We'll talk about it more throughout the week, but I think it's going to be a tough one. 12:10, Nick Sirianni speaks to the media. We'll find out what he has to say about all the going-ons of this week. So that'll be at 12:10. Practice begins at 3:10. We'll get a good look at who's practicing and who is not. 4:50, the locker room opens up. So late-night locker room. Jalen Hurts will have a press conference. That'll certainly be interesting to hear what Jalen has to say. And then from 6 to 8, Go Birds Evenings. Yes, we're back for another week. And we got our old buddy, our good friend, BLG, Brandon Lee Goutwin of Bleeding Green Nation, obviously a godfather of the Go Birds pod. And we get more requests to have BLG on than anybody else. So I'm super, super pumped to have him in studio tonight. Lot to talk to him about. He's not a big coaching staff guy, so I'll be curious to see where he is at with everything. So that's what's on the schedule for today. Nick Sirianni at 12:10, practice at 3:10, locker room at 4:50, and then 6 to 8 tonight, me and Brandon Lee Gatwin on Sports Radio 94. WIP. And call in if you haven't before. Wednesday is a good time to get a call in if you can't get in Saturday. Saturday, I know it's tough to call in. We are lucky enough to have a lot of callers. Wednesday night, I'm still building my roster, still building my regular. So 215-592-9494 if you want to call in. All right. No real update on the injury report. Obviously, the devastating news about Lane Johnson and him potentially needing foot surgery and being out 4 to 6 weeks with a Liz Frank injury. We'll see. I think it's just we'll see at this point. And then Cam Jurgens, we'll see if he's out on the practice field today. I don't anticipate him being out there. I don't think he's going to play on Sunday, but we will know more later today. So Cam Jurgens is one to keep an eye on. And then, of course, any other injuries that might have popped up from this game. Today will be our first look at where we are at. The book drive. So thank you to everybody that continues to make donations. It really warms my heart every day to wake up, look at the donations. I check it all the time and see new people donating every day. So you guys are the best. The Go Birds community is the best. And this is going to do a lot of good work. So Treehouse Books, a nonprofit in North Philadelphia, they do an awesome job getting books into the hands of kids. As you know, reading is important in general, but especially at a young age, it can be a future indicator of success. So go to the link in the podcast if you can, and even if you can't, learn about Treehouse Books and maybe down the road you can donate, but make a donation. A $5 donation equals one new book to a kid in the area, and there's a way you can win Zach Bond signed football or a sick shirt by Dewani Soraya, who I promise you, if you've seen a cool Philly drawing over the past year, she's likely done it. So thank you to everybody that donated. Means the world that we've gotten up to where we are, and hopefully we can get even higher because they do a lot of really good work. Okay, let's start up with the defense, because obviously this is a defensive team right now. This is a team that if they go to the Super Bowl, the defense more than likely is going to have to be elite. I would not rule out them winning a game with a shootout, just because I think until I see this team actually lose a game because of the offense, I'm just going to think they'll always find enough way to get a way to get enough points. But we'll lead with the defense because they deserve it. They've been the reason they've won the last two games. I do think not turning the ball over has been a big part of it as well. But the defense has been outstanding the last 2 weeks. And part of the reason the defense has been so outstanding is because of the defensive line. Jalen Phillips has been unbelievable. Jordan Davis has been unbelievable. Jalen Carter, Jalix Hunt. But an interesting part of this has been the return of Nolan Smith. So Nolan Smith has been back the last two games, but despite, I think, actually playing pretty well when he's been out there, he just hasn't been out there. He hasn't been out there much. Now, it is the first two games back since he returned from the tricep injury, but still just really hasn't been on the field a ton. And part of that is because Vic Fangio revealed this on Tuesday. Nolan Smith on a snap count since returning. That was not something we were aware of. It was not something that was reported, but he's just not been playing a ton. And I think in some ways that can be exciting, right? Because even though the defense is still playing at a really high level, he's not been super involved in it. In fact, if you look at his snap counts, they are very, very low. This past week against the Lions, he played 23 snaps. Now, that was up from the 19 snaps he played the week before. But you look early in the year, and it was 53 snaps week one, 44 snaps week two, 47 snaps week three. So he was playing basically all the snaps the first 3 weeks of the season. He's at less than half, if not a quarter, of the snaps these last two games. So as good as the defensive line has been, him coming back and playing more and more and more, I think is going to be a net positive. And man, I really do think this defensive line has a chance to carry them the rest of the way. Maybe it's an overreaction. Maybe it's not. We'll find out. But you just look at how good they have been. Jalen Phillips, what he's added. Jalix Hunt playing at a high level. What Nolan Smith and the snaps he's played has brought. And I think he'll be even better the rest of the way. But I just thought that was really interesting that he is on a snap count. So wanted to, you know, Vic Fangio gives such short answers that sometimes it's not worth playing the audio. But I do think the biggest piece of news to come out of Vic Fangio was that Nolan's on a snap count. We'll see how much longer that is the case. Next up, Vic Fangio was asked about Adoree Jackson. So Adoree is someone Vic has had a bit of a mixed relationship with through the media. In the training camp, he basically was like, every team that's had him's gotten rid of him, and didn't sound like he was too much a part of signing him. But he is starting him. He keeps putting him out there. And I think Adoree played pretty well this last game. And Vic Fangio was asked about that. And here is what Vic had to say.
Adoree Jackson, the survivor last week. What'd you make of his play?
I thought he played good. You know, he got beat early for a couple, but hung in there. Made the big third down stop in the second half. And another play that was critical was in when we held them in the red zone. That tackle he made on either first or second down to keep it a short game was a big play. So I thought he played well.
So I'm not going to act like Adoree has been amazing this year. Adoree definitely had his moments where he's not been good. He let up a touchdown against the Lions. So I think he is still the weak point of the defense. But I also know that if you give up 7 points to the Packers, and then you give up 9 points to the Lions, everyone on the defense has to be playing at a pretty high level for that to happen. Doesn't mean he's not the weak link. Doesn't mean that I feel confident in him in a big game. I still think he has a lot to prove from that standpoint. But I do think that he has locked that job down for now. And we talked about how Vic sounded open to moving Cooper to the outside. I think Adoree is playing well enough to keep him in the nickel. And that's better for the defense overall. Now, this upcoming week, he's got a tough matchup. George Pickens, CeeDee Lamb. The Cowboys have really, really good receivers. And it is going to be tough for Adoree. In that first matchup, he really struggled this year against Dallas. So they're going to come at him, and it's going to be up to him to stop him. Dak's playing at an unbelievable level. They move the ball way better at home, and they score more points at home than they do on the road. But I have more confidence in Adoree Jackson at this point of the season than I thought I would, considering how training camp went, considering how he struggled early on. I think he deserves credit for stepping up and playing better. But the player that really has stepped up is N'Kobe Dean. And N'Kobe, I think, has been getting a ton of praise for it, rightfully so. He should be in the running for comeback player of the year. I think I'd have to look around the league and see who else is coming back from an injury, but N'Kobe suffered the worst possible injury a football player can get in some ways, and he has responded and played at a high level. So Vic Fangio was asked about N'Kobe, and here's what he had to say.
With N'Kobe coming back from the injury, were there certain things you were looking for to know that he was back to being himself?
No, just overall. I mean, I know what he looks like when he's right. I think we did the right thing. He could have played that Giants game. I didn't feel comfortable doing that. And he's progressed nicely, both in practice and in the games. And you guys,
I definitely think N'Kobe has been a big part of their defense turning it around. If you look at just how much better they've been in the running game, in their last four games, they've held opponents to under 4 yards per carry on the ground. And there's been some good running attacks. The Lions, the Packers, obviously Cam Scadab, who unfortunately left the game with an injury. The Vikings run it well. So they've had good games against good running defenses. And N'Kobe has been a big part of that. And I know this is an offseason thing, but man, they really got to re-sign him, right? I mean, I don't see how you let N'Kobe leave the building. Vic loves him. Nick loves him. The players love him. And I know Jihad is maybe long-term an inside linebacker, but I also kind of think maybe you waited out and Zach Bond's gone in a year, not next year, but the year after. I just, losing to Kobe would hurt for this team. They drafted him where they did. They developed him. They stuck through some injuries. I don't think it's going to cost a lot of money to re-sign him. Now it's interesting that Vic keeps playing Jihad Campbell, despite the fact that N'Kobe, I think, has played at a better level. And I do think it speaks to a willingness to still want Jihad to be a part of the game plan. So Vic was asked about that, and here's about still playing Jihad and still having that rotation, and here's what he had to say.
Why are you keeping the rotation inside linebacker?
Oh, just because, you know, keep Jihad in there ready to roll because he's the next guy up in the as an ILB. But he's been getting time, too, at OLB. So, It'll probably stay similar.
It's an interesting answer, right? Like, just keep Jihad in there ready to roll because he's the next guy up at inside linebacker. You don't often hear a coach say, essentially, we're playing him to continue developing him, right? I mean, they're not giving Drew Kendall reps at center because he's the next guy up at center after Brett Toth. They're not giving Keely Ringo reps on the outside every once in a while, right? He's putting him in there because he still wants Jihad to be part of the game plan. So maybe next year they could find a way to have N'Kobe be a part of the team, even with Jihad and Zach Bond here. I just think it's simple, and Nick put it this way. He's a good football player. He's a good locker room guy. I think you're a better team with N'Kobe Dean on it. So N'Kobe, this is his chance to cash in, and he should absolutely take that chance to cash in. If another team wants to pay him big money, he should take it. But I don't think another team will, and I think the Eagles really should do whatever it takes to keep N'Kobe Dean in the building. All right, so that was the defensive side of the ball. They're playing great. It's a big reason they'll go to the Super Bowl, and they'll probably win the Super Bowl. But the offense, not as good. So we're going to get into the offense on the other side with what Kevin Petullo had to say. So we'll get to that on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Okay. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Okay, so Kevin Petullo, everybody's favorite offensive coordinator, spoke to the media on Tuesday, and he had a lot to answer to. Why the offense hasn't been playing as well, the A.J. Brown targets on Sunday, the offensive line issues, and really the self-inflicted wound. So Kevin Petullo was asked first what he think has kind of, what's gone wrong the last two games. And he leaned on something that they've leaned on a lot in terms of why they think the offense is not playing well. So here's Kevin Petullo talking about the offense struggling the last two games.
Looking at the last two games, is there any one thing in particular that is most frustrating that you guys haven't been able to do or that you really need to fix?
I think like everything, you know, when you look at the situations we have sometimes, when we're on track, you know, we do a pretty good job. And if we get off track a little bit, whether it's a, you know, a negative play or a penalty, that puts us kind of in a hole. We've had some trouble with that. So, you know, it starts with us as a staff to make sure we're in a good play and we're executing at a high level and we're all detailed up. And then if something happens like a penalty, you know, sometimes those happen, we got to be able to overcome that. So that's kind of been the thing a little bit because we've had opportunities. We just haven't, you know, made the most of them at times. We know we're capable of, I know the guys are excited about it. And then, you know, they feel like we're moving in the right direction. We just got to continue to push through that and you know, explode when we need to.
So one thing you hear him say there is drives like that are on track versus off track. And what he means by that is, you know, getting behind the sticks, whether that's a play on first down that loses them 4 yards, whether that's a pre-snap penalty that puts them into first and 15, whether it's a sack on second down that puts you into third and long, whether it's a penalty on whatever it is, right? Staying on track, staying ahead of the sticks. That is one thing they have really, really harped on in terms of why the offense has struggled. Now, penalties, as I mentioned, is a part of that. And you look at the penalties this year. So this year they have been called for 70 penalties. That is 15th most in the NFL. So they're not like leading the league in penalties. But what's interesting is you look at the teams that are ahead of them in penalties. Denver Broncos, who are a good team, so this qualifies. But then the Giants, Jacksonville, Chicago, who is not as good as their record, Dallas, Arizona, Washington, Minnesota, Chargers, Patriots, Saints, Houston, Green Bay, and Philly. So I would say the teams that are legit Super Bowl contenders above them are the Patriots and the Broncos, but even they're pretty young teams on the way up. You look at some of the least penalized teams, the Rams, the least penalized team in the NFL with 47. Tampa Bay is fifth at 58. Detroit is seventh fewest at 60. Seattle, 60. So the teams at the bottom of this list in terms of penalties are among the best in the NFL. And then you look at pre-snap penalties. The Eagles have 26 pre-snap penalties, which is, again, 15th most in the NFL. And you look at the teams that are penalized most before the snap. The Bears, also not a real contender. The Giants, the Vikings, the Chargers, the Saints, Washington, Titans, Cowboys, Broncos, Panthers, Jaguars, Browns, and Jets. And then it's the Eagles. So do any of us think those teams that were just mentioned are going to the Super Bowl? Like, maybe Chicago might, but I don't think so at all. And then you look at the teams that are at the fewest pre-snap penalties. Seattle, the Rams, the Colts, Buffalo, Tampa, Detroit, Kansas City. I mean, that's like a power ranking right there. Like, the Eagles are obviously in the power ranking, but if you told someone to rank the best teams in the NFL, it might not look that different than the teams with the pre-snap penalties. So when Petullo's talking about getting off track, he's correct. I think with the offense struggling, we all, you know, well, I actually don't do it, but a lot of people point to, you know, the route combination or like that. It's pretty simple. When the Eagles don't fall behind on drives, they're good. When they do, it's really hard. And you can see in the NFL, the teams that struggle and fall behind in drives are the teams that are not that good. So part of it, part of their issue now is how they're going to fix it. And I asked Kevin Petullo this because it seems challenging to me. How do you fix self-inflicted wounds? Like, when the problem is not just pre-snap penalties, when the problem is pre-snap penalties, one of the problems is holding. One of the problems is drops. Like, how do you go about fixing self-inflicted wounds? And here's what Petullo had to say.
The players have talked about the self-inflicted wounds, mm-hmm. kind of hurting you guys. As a coach, when, like, how do you coach out self-inflicted wounds? Like, what's like your strategy there? And what have you found in your career helps kind of fix those mistakes?
So I think really even going back to throughout the season and yesterday, you know, that's something we immediately talk about as a whole unit in here as an offense and show them and talk about them and why drives are stalling out. We went through each drive and kind of showed all those self-inflicted things. But it's all of us too, right? It's the coaches, the players. We all have to be on the same page, whether it's a penalty, whether it's an assignment issue, whether it's a detail issue. We know they can't happen, and we know that's what's really getting us right now. So we got to continue to work on those together and really just understand that's where we got to stop those things.
So I'll give the coaching staff credit. They normally are very good at fixing things in season. If you think about throughout Nick's time here, last year, the offense really struggled. They were turning the ball over. They fixed it with the running game. His first year, they had problems with that pick play. They got that turned around. I can't remember what the problem was in 2022 off the top of my head, but pretty sure they turned it around because they went to the Super Bowl. So really only 2023 was the year they were not able to do it. So I do think the offense will be better, and I think the offense will improve. I don't think they're going to turn into some high-flying scoring offense week after week. That being said, would it shock me if they put up 30-plus points in the championship game of the Super Bowl? Of course not. I think there's a chance they could do it, but we'll see what the staff is able to do over the rest of the regular season in getting enough out of the offense to win games. So part of the way they tried to get the offense going in this last game was getting the ball to A.J. Brown. So Kevin Petullo was asked about the amount of targets A.J. got, and here's what he had to say.
They had a high volume of targets. Was there a concerted effort to get the ball to him, and how did you feel like that impacted the flow of the offense?
Yeah, it was really no different. I think really the plan was pretty much similar to how it was, you know, every other game with him, and the ball found him a little bit more, which is great. And he made some critical plays for us when we needed it. Made some really tough catches in traffic, and that's what he's awesome. He's a phenomenal player and did a really good job from that standpoint.
Yeah, so he says in there, and I asked Nick this after the game, and no different, just how the game expressed itself. We always try to get the ball to AJ. Like, come on, man. You threw it to him twice behind the line of scrimmage. Has AJ had another catch all year behind the line of scrimmage? I really don't think so. So they clearly tried to get AJ the ball, and it did work well. He had 12 targets, including the pass interference, and he had 49 total yards. That is bad. That is not good production for a receiver. I'm not good at math, but that's like less than five yards a target. He's supposed to be a big play threat. He's supposed to be someone that can win jump balls down the field. He's supposed to be someone that can catch it and run after the catch, and they're not getting that out of him. The question is if he still has it in him to do it, but Yeah, I just, come on. Like, you tried really hard to get him the ball and it didn't work out. I think that's obvious what happened. Now, a big play from that game was the deep throw to A.J. Brown that a lot of people felt A.J. didn't give good effort on. I asked A.J. about it in the locker room and he said that there was kind of hand checking and maybe a little bit of holding going on. I take his word for it. I have a hard time saying players aren't giving effort. Petullo was asked about it, and here's what he said.
There was a play in to AJ in the third quarter down the left sideline. It looked like maybe he slowed up. Is that what you saw? What is the teaching point, if any, on that play?
Yeah, it was a third and long, I believe, right? And he got kind of tangled up with the DB. I'm not so sure he located the ball, you know, wholeheartedly, but we just got to continue to find ways to just connect on those kind of things and work on them in practice. And really throughout the history of it, Jalen and AJ do an unbelievable job of connecting on those kind of things. And we'll continue to throw them to him, you know, because he's going to do his job and get open. And we usually hit them.
So I'm not one to cause up controversy. But when I was listening to this, one thing popped into my ear, like immediately, the word wholeheartedly. So he basically says AJ couldn't see the ball. Right. He said, you know, I'll pull up the exact quote here. I know that you just heard it, but I feel like reading it back will be good. So Kevin Petullo is asked about A.J. Brown and the target down the field. And he said he kind of got tangled up with the DB, which I agree. I'm not so sure he located the ball wholeheartedly, but we've got to continue to find ways to connect on those kind of things and work on them in practice. So here's the thing. I think Kevin Petullo meant he himself is not sure if he located the ball. But when you read it and when you hear it, he says, I'm not so sure he located the ball wholeheartedly. So does that mean he doesn't think he tried his hardest to locate the ball? Like, that's grammatically what that means. So maybe he misspoke. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, I don't think he would throw AJ under the bus like that. Maybe it was a Freudian slip. I don't know. But the word wholeheartedly really caught my ear there on the answer. So we'll see. I mean, there's now been a few plays this year where people have called AJ's effort into question, and we'll see how he responds the rest of the year. Now, the final thing Petullo talked about that I thought was interesting was the shakeups on the offensive line, and not shakeups by benching or decisions, shakeups because they've been suffering a lot of injuries. So Petullo was asked about all the different offensive linemen playing, and here's what he had to say.
Seems like every week you've had a different offensive lineman leaving the game.
Mm-hmm.
How much has that impacted the lack of consistency throughout the season on offense?
I mean, Stout does a great job having all those guys ready. They work extremely hard, and you know, we trust anybody that's out there. But it is different, I guess you could say. It has been a different thing from week to week. We've had different guys kind of in and out of there, but they've all played extremely hard, and they know what to do. And you know, we expect to just kind of keep it going the way it's been going, and whoever's available, we'll roll with. And I know everybody's eager to do what they need to do to help us win.
So obviously this season is going way better than 2020. Like, they already have twice as many wins as they had all year in 2020. And they'll probably end up with like three or four times as many wins. But in 2020, one of the reasons it fell apart is because the offensive line was banged up all year. Carson was really bad that year, for sure. They had a lot of problems, but man, that offensive line was a disaster that year. And it's really, really hard to win when you have a bunch of different offensive linemen every week. So the fact the Eagles have done it, I think, is actually a sign of a pretty good coaching staff and pretty good quarterback play by Jalen, that they've had a different offensive line in almost every game this year, and they've still been able to win. So we'll see if they can continue to do it. Losing Lane is not going to be easy, but we've seen this team win in all types of ways over the past few seasons. So that'll do it for today's Daily Go Birds podcast. Go out, enjoy your day. It's Wednesday. We're getting close to the Cowboys game. We're going to really start talking about the Cowboys the next few days. So tune into Go Birds evenings tonight if you can. Very excited to do it. Very excited to talk to you all. So until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.